Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Audio Mirror Podcast. This is Hope. I also want to say hello to everybody on Blind Cool Tech as well. This is going to be my music podcast. Please forgive me. I sound a little mutated right now, and that's because my voice is going through its strange morphing process. Originally, I was going to, as part of this podcast, I was going to add some vocals to kind of illustrate different parts of my musical background and life and things like that. However, that's not going to happen because I think I would probably sound tenorish. I think the tenors would be proud, perhaps even the basses, depending on how low I could get. I'm supposed to be soprano, so I really don't see myself reaching those notes right this moment. So I'm not going to do that. And that may be better for all concerned. Not to mention, it would be exceptionally and extremely painful right now. So I'm not going to do that. But just to begin with, I want to thank everyone who has sent such lovely good wishes and well wishes. That was really, really, really nice and actually very, very unexpected. That's amazing. So I just want to thank you all. I want to thank Megan Kelly. And I also, would like to thank, Maria, and I want to thank Lynette O'Neill Tatum. Just somehow, and this is in reference to Lynette's latest podcast, so if you all haven't heard it, you should really check that out. It's quite funny, especially when she kept getting confused with O'Neill. She's now become Irish. That's really that's quite an achievement, I have to say. Let's see, who else? Oh, I'd like to thank Frank Lizardi, and I really hope I pronounced that right, because Eloquence pronounces it lizard, and I really hope I didn't mess that up, but I really hope that that's how it is pronounced, and if not, I do apologize very sincerely. I would like to thank Donna Slater, also, for her good wishes as well. That was really, really nice. It's really nice to see you. Well, you said you've been on the list, so it's nice to see little notes. This is kind of neat. It's another way to kind of interact. Oh, let's see, who else have I missed? Oh, I would like to thank Jeff and Mary Armstrong for their lovely, for their good wishes and lovely note. That was really, really nice. And I just want to say to Darren that I really hope that you get well as well. I just now got a chance to really read all of my emails because I've been kind of out on sleeping and everything else. I want to thank Mary Emerson and thank you for your advice. Actually, what I did, she recommended lots of vitamin C. I did the boiling water and some drops of eucalyptus oil and breathed in the steam and tried to kind of enjoy that, and then put eucalyptus, you know, it's, they put eucalyptus in Vicks too, but it's just not the same as eucalyptus, which you can find in various health food stores. Not to mention, I just love the smell of eucalyptus. Okay. Anyway. Interesting segues, which never really lead anywhere. Okay. And would you believe I actually took communications classes? I'm almost positive I've forgotten somebody, and, well, lots of somebodies, and if I have, it's not because you are, by any means, or by any stretch of the imagination, not appreciated. It's just I have so many, emails due to, because I don't have it set on digest mode, I have it set to just every single message, and, I just wanted, and I was going through them all, and it's just, it's overwhelming at times, but it's not so overwhelming that I'm still here. Okay. My music. Well, to begin, I guess we should start at the beginning. actually, my music, or musical origins, or musical whatever, basically, started or began pretty much when I was the first thing I really remember is I was very, very young. I was probably 2-ish. Everybody has, there are so many debates about, you know, people's first ever memories. You know, some people say they can remember from the time they were born, the very, very moment they were born, and other people say, well, you know, that's just not possible. I don't know whether that is or isn't. I'm not going to guess on that, because I don't know, but I will say that my first memory really of music or of anything is, I was probably about 2, and I remember I was sitting in my mother's lap. She had this rocking chair, and I was sitting in my mother's lap, and my grandmother was there as well. And I don't really remember the circumstances. I don't remember what happened. I don't remember what was going on. I just remember I was dressed up, and I guess we were all dressed up. I don't know. I don't remember why. I just remember sitting in my mother's lap, and my grandmother was there. And my mother was watching the Olympics or something like that. I don't know. She was watching something on television. Maybe it was, I don't know what it was, but it was something. And there, all I remember was it was just nothing but music, at least that I can recall. And I remember standing up and spinning around and just singing. I don't know what I sang. I just remember singing. And, really, that's about where the memory kind of blurs, but that's my first real memory. I remember I had very, very shiny, slippery patent leather. Well, I think they were patent leather. I don't know. But they were slippery shoes, and they made noise, and I always had a fascination with, after that, as I grew up, I always had a fascination with shoes that clicked. High-heeled, it didn't matter. High-heeled, flat shoes, any shoes that made noises on hardwood floor surfaces. And, I would make music like that. I would be walking, and as my foot would hit, one foot would hit the ground, and I would sing a note, and another would hit the ground, and I'd sing another note. And they were just made up songs. As I grew older, I also had fascinations with tape recorders and anything that, microphones, anything that recorded. My favorite toy when I was a baby was a little tiny, probably 6-inch long piano. Well, I say a baby, but I was probably more like a toddler. And according to my mother, I would play with it and play with nothing else. And she would try to encourage me to play with other things because there were other toys and stuffed animals and things. And I just couldn't, I guess I didn't want to. I guess I was too enthralled with the piano. Sorry everyone, I think my voice is going quickly. I thought I was going to be able to do this podcast, and it looks as though, well, here we go, here's something. My voice is telling me, you know, you need to stop, but I want to get this up because I said I would. Okay, so back to my story. So I would play with this little piano, and the first song I really picked out was Mary Had a Little Lamb, because there were only really three little buttons on the whole thing. They were big buttons, and they were square-shaped, and they were C, D, and E, which I didn't know at the time, but I know now. Just because I still have the thing. it doesn't work any longer, but I still have it. I remember because it took one AA battery, and I've tried it and it doesn't work, because I was going to demonstrate it on this podcast, but I still have it. And it has three little square buttons, and I think that the buttons probably had imprints of notes, but I'm not actually sure. It's shaped in the shape of a piano. It's very small. Like I said, it was probably about 6 inches long and maybe at the most, 2 or 3 inches wide. And it was my favorite thing growing up, and well, especially, and so I kept it just as a collector's piece because I knew that it would be, well, my grandmother actually bought it for me. She's no longer here, so it also kind of makes me feel a little bit closer to my grandmother. Hold on a minute, everyone. Okay, I had to pause because I had to get a drink. Well, actually, another cup of hot tea. I've been drinking nothing but hot tea I'm trying to get my voice back to a normal sort of something, some semblance of normality. When I was about 5, I believe it was. Yes, because I was in kindergarten. My grandmother decided that since I liked to play the piano so much, she was going to talk to my mother and see if she was interested in me taking piano lessons. And my mother at first didn't, because she didn't think that, I guess she didn't think that there would be enough money and things like that, because we weren't exactly impoverished and starving, but we didn't have a whole lot of money for extra special things. And my father wasn't exactly really in the picture much, and when he wasn't exactly Mr. Wonderful. But anyway, so okay, so my grandmother checked out this piano teacher, and I guess came to a good decision, I don't know. And I began to take piano lessons. I didn't really like this woman because I wanted to play what I wanted to play, and she wanted me to play all of the classical pieces, which, when I look back on that, it was good, because it was good for my whole musical career and my whole musical background and knowledge and everything else. But at the time, I didn't see the greatness in it. I only knew that, it wasn't what I wanted to play at the time. In fact, I was extremely bored with the whole thing. Her name was Mrs. Rail. And I believe that she has since passed on, which is kind of a sad thing, because now I can appreciate what she was trying to do, even though she was very strict and her methods were very, just strict. I mean, if you didn't get a note right, she would just yell. She'd say, "Stop! I can't do it because my voice isn't letting me." But it was very, "Stop! Read!" And she'd have you replay the note and or replay the entire piece from the beginning, even if it was in the middle of the piece, until you got it right, so you did not mess up if you had the chance. I was only with her for, about 6 months, because we ended up moving, actually to another city, and it was just too far for my mother to drive, because she had to go to school and she was working as well. And my grandfather or my grandmother grew increasingly sicker, and so it was just it was very difficult. So I took lessons for about 6 months or so, and then it just ended. But I do remember, I think we got through the first Suzuki book one. I don't know, it had the minuet, the first minuet from Mozart, and I believe all of your typical Bach pieces, and I can't even remember now what was in that first book. I only know that I liked a piece, and it was called Chant. It was just called Chant, and I don't remember the composer, but I could play it. I think I liked the variation of the piece. It was it was kind of, it just, I just always liked the song. And, I will go and play that piece. And, you can see, if I can play it without messing it up. Okay, so here comes Chant, my childhood piece from Piano Lessons. I will say that it's very simplistic, but it was a childhood piece, so, you know, it's going to be rather simple. But, like I said, I loved it back then, especially because it seemed to actually be a little more exciting than... and no, don't get me wrong. Minuets are exciting now. Well, they just weren't then, back when I was 5 years old, so... But this piece seemed to have a bit more excitement. I mean, it sounds a bit somber, actually, but... it just seemed to have this pulse a little more than the others. I don't know why, but... At any rate, here is Chant by the unknown composer, which I will hopefully figure out. If not, perhaps somebody who recognizes the piece will know exactly who this is composed by, so...
Forgive the sound of the bass. This is going to be a bit bassy, I believe, but... hopefully not too terrible. Enjoyed that one very much, particularly, and I don't really know why. I guess just like I said, it seemed to have a bit of a pulse. It seemed to be a bit more exciting than the other pieces that I was told I needed to play. Sorry, I used to get in trouble for doing that in piano lessons. I would just start playing anything that came out, and I was not concentrating on the book and on what I needed to be concentrating on. And that was a problem at the time. However, since this is my podcast, since I can't sing much at the moment, I was going to play something. Let's see. I could still do that. I'm just... I have my keyboard hooked up to a set of speakers, which the built-in microphones on the R1 are lovely, but they're very sensitive to bass, and any low frequency is very, very noticeable, so that is it. I thought I had it as far away from the speakers as it could be, but at the moment, it's still a bit bassy. I don't know, I will play it back and see, but at the moment it's sounding pretty bassy, so. That was not recorded before. That was not mixed before. That just kind of came out. That was one of those piano lesson moments where I played whatever came into my head. So and I do, and I tend to do that when I sit down at this thing, so I hope you all will forgive me, and it was the creative process happening, so I don't know. It may or may not become a piece. It could be if I don't have any lyrics or anything yet, so if anybody's gifted in poetry, I have a few poems that I've put to music, one being The Song of the Soul that I discussed on my Blind Cool Tech Life cast, and actually, let me turn this off here. Where on earth? Oh. I'm going, where's my switch for my soundboard here? Okay. What in the world? Oh.
Okay. Okay, now that you heard that lovely bit of something, I don't know. Keyboard players, musicians out there, go ahead and, you know, critique if you want. But like I said, it was the creative process. And I think my voice might possibly be back, perhaps. I've maybe had tea and maybe it's actually, I think it might actually be starting to just be normal again. That would be good. I still can't get past this about this register right at the moment. I'm still kind of stuck on that lower range, but I'm getting there. I think maybe another day and I will be back to normal. It almost sounds normal now. I just sound still kind of low. Okay, enough about my voice. But yeah, anybody that, you know, if you want to critique it, if you want to put something with it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. I didn't even mean for it to be on here, and it just kind of happened. All right, so moving onward and upward. So I took piano lessons, as I said, for about 6 months, and then we ended up moving. And by this point, my grandmother had gotten very sick, and I didn't know then that it was cancer. I didn't even know, actually, that she was sick, because she was very much into fixing up her home and home decorating. And she was fixing up her home, and it turned out that in the midst of all this, she grew very ill. She had, and it happened within a matter of probably 6 weeks. And it was really interesting how, or what happened. She was, one minute I knew she was painting her house, and the next she was in the hospital, and I didn't know why. I didn't know what was going on. And then I find out, it was, I knew after a while, when I went to visit her, I knew that, I somehow knew, nobody told me, I was very small, by this point I was about 8 years old. Yes, because that would make sense, okay. I was about 8 years old, and I don't know how I knew. I guess it was child instinct or something, but every time I would go and see my grandmother in the hospital, and I saw her 3 times, that was all I was able to see her. And each time I would leave the room, each time it was time for me to go, I would whisper, I would say, "Goodbye, Grandma," because nobody told me she was dying, but I just knew somehow. And then the first 2 times she was actually kind of coherent enough to talk a bit. Her voice was very hoarse. It turned out that she had, believe it was You know, honestly, I don't even know what kind of cancer it was, to be honest with you. And the reason I don't know is because I've been told two different things. One from my father. My father said it's bone cancer, or it was bone cancer. My mother said it was not bone cancer. It was, ovarian type cancer, and I don't know which it was. I don't know. All I know is the third time I was there, she was not. I believe she knew I was there. She could see me and she could nod, but she couldn't speak. So the last time was very, very, it was always very somber for me. But the reason she was so important to me was because she really, really was behind my music 110%. Not just my music, she was behind everything I did. She was kind of my second mother and my caretaker when my mother wasn't able to be around due to school and things like that, and when my father was out doing his lovely alcoholic and whatever else things he did, I don't even know. He was just never there. We'll put it that way. And he definitely was not exactly doing anything, any favors for the family, any kind of kind things on business. It was certainly not like that. It was more like he just didn't feel like being there, and taking responsibility for his children and his family. So, enough about that. So, yes, I don't actually know what kind of cancer it was. but it was cancer. And so she was behind my music, and it was a very devastating loss to me when my grandmother died. This was not long after my best friend Wendy died. Wendy had leukemia, and she. That's nice. Sorry about that. She was a very, very special person. This was before I actually moved to Findlay. I was in North Baltimore, and this is before I moved. And she was very, very, very special as well. Because she would, we were kind of both kind of misfits in school, and she was always there too. She was just fun to talk to. We kind of met because we were both misfits, and why can't I not say that word? And outsiders. And Wendy was really, really fascinating. I didn't know that she had leukemia. I didn't even know. The reason she was such an outsider was because she didn't really have any hair. And I wasn't aware of that because I wasn't looking. And I think that's why we connected, because we weren't judging each other by our maladies, if you want to look at it like that. I never did, but society, children can be cruel, as we all know. Children can also be very sweet, so. Anyway. We kind of joined forces, and every day at recess, she always had a thing about natural things, natural like vegetation and plants and things. She always wanted to change her name at recess. She never wanted to be Wendy at recess. She always wanted to be known as some kind of. One time it was dandelion, and I think rosebud, and cedar, and various trees. She knew she was very, very smart. She knew actual names of, she knew cedar tree and oak tree, and she was 7 at the time, so she was a very, very smart girl. Okay, and this relates to my music. It does, because Wendy used to like for me to play for her, right after lunch, before recess. We would sneak out of the cafeteria 9 times out of 10. I don't know if the monitors just thought she was taking me to the restroom or what it was, but we would never come back to the cafeteria. We would always kind of sneak into the music room, which was always open, before the music teacher got in because the music teacher was all over the school district, and right before recess, we were always able to sneak in, and I would always play for her a song or two before we got caught. I mean, we would leave before we got caught, and I would always play a song or two for her, and she would just sit and listen, and that was amazing. And then, you know, for her turn, I would call her by her natural new changed name of the day, and we just had a lot of fun. And she never she just listened. And April of that year, she left school, and I couldn't figure out where she went because, you know, we always had so much fun. And then she ended up dying, and I went, "Whoa, what just happened here?" Of leukemia. And I was not allowed to go to the funeral because I still don't know why. I don't have a clue. I really, her parents didn't want me there. Her parents were never too fond of me to begin with, though. Her mother thought I was influencing her child. I don't know. She was interesting. I'm sure. I'm hoping she's gotten beyond that now. And my grandmother was there to kind of help me through it. She said that, you know, Wendy was still, she was still here. She was just looking down on me, so I should keep playing, and I should play for Wendy every day, you know, which I did. And I tried to make it, you know, I tried to, when, you know, the first day of my third grade year, I got up from lunch and went to the music room, and just wasn't the same. I played one song, and I couldn't keep doing it because she wasn't there. And it was just sad for me, so I did it at home instead. I had a little tiny keyboard piano. I guess it was more like a piano because it was on four legs and it was very low to the ground. I mean, you actually had to sit on the floor to play this. And it had probably counting black keys. Well, it just had one octave. And then I got my amazing Yamaha keyboard, but that came later. So I would play for her at home, and then, you know, the summer after my second grade year, August, my grandmother died of cancer as well. So it was, and then ever since then, it's death, and I don't know, I've become very well acquainted with grief. But it's helped me write some, I've always written a song or something to try and kind of get through it. And it's always usually been for the person that has passed on. And it's helped. It's kind of my therapy. For me, music's always been extremely therapeutic. Even when it's been a very difficult day, just a tough day, I can just sit down at the keyboard or at the piano, and I just kind of forget about it for a while and just kind of go away into my own little world. And so that's kind of nice. So I'm not really going on a background here. I'm kind of going off again on tangents, and I need to stop because my podcast, I'm sure, is probably up to half an hour, and I apologize, everybody. I really do. See, I should keep notes. Okay, so moving on to my, not many eventful things happened up until about my 12th year, my 7th grade year, and my 12th year of life. And I ended up going to transferring from my public school education, pardon me, to the Ohio State School for the Blind in Columbus. I went for 2 years. I went 7th and 8th grade both. And that, well, musically, I really enjoyed it because we had, it was, there was a fantastic music program. We also had a bell choir, and we had London, real London chapel bells. You know, and we got to actually, the neat thing about the School for the Blind was because we got to go to various other schools, for sports, for, music, choir. Each year there was a big choral concert that happened, and, my first year at the School for the Blind, it was in Canada. It was in Brantford, Ontario. And, okay, Jaws, you can just shut up now. Anyway, in Brantford, Ontario. And I got to be in the choir as well as play the handbells. Not, of course, at the same time, but within this same weekend. And I just loved that. I loved, Bell Choir is what it was known as. There were 9 of us, and we were selective in talent, and we were just in other things. I was the youngest person in Bell Choir, and it went all the way up to the seniors. So I was the youngest, and then it went up, which was kind of neat for me. I was also the youngest in choir as well. But I really enjoyed music, and so I got to do that for 2 years, 7th and 8th grade, and then freshman through senior years of high school, I came back from the School for the Blind because of some issues with certain staff members, a particular one, a science teacher that I just really... Let's just say that he and I did not get along. All I'll say here is I was 12, and at the time he was 58, and I will go back to my normal thing, but I wanted to just kind of elaborate on this because I did a little on my first podcast for Blind School Tech. So... I'm sure you might be able to guess, he found females of us, I don't know if he had a specific look going on or a specific age group, but certain ones rather attractive. I don't know why. You know, he would, turn off the lights, which I don't understand because it was the blind school. And nobody had perfect vision. In fact, everybody had, it was either low vision or completely blind in that particular science class. But he would turn the lights off anyway, show a video, and then he would kind of walk around the room, and I don't know if this happened to anybody else. He'd come up behind me, and he had this weird way of, it's just making me very uncomfortable. And by his presence, not just in things he did. And so I went to a recreation staff member and I said, what do you do if you think a teacher likes you? Because I didn't know what else to do. And it was really making me uncomfortable. And immediately the guy said, oh, you know, you mean, and this particular individual's name. And I said, how did you know? And the ball kind of rolled from there. It became a big investigation, and went to trial, and he wasn't convicted after all of any kind of anything. But needless to say, I got out of there because it was just not good for me to be there any longer, and it just wasn't a good environment. So 9th through 12th grade, I was in choir for all 4 years. And that was when I was introduced to Brahms' Requiem and Battle Hymn of the Republic and, oh my goodness, just a whole host of amazing pieces, amazing choral pieces. And I was in love. I loved all of that. I still love choral and ensemble things. I love being a part of a group. I was first soprano and still am when I can actually sing first soprano, which is not a good idea at the moment, but there's something about, I used to look forward to the choral concerts every year because the orchestra would accompany the choir on certain pieces and the piano would on others. But the amazing part was when the orchestra accompanied the choir, because that was just absolutely amazing. There is nothing like orchestral and choral combinations, because I don't know, it's just incredible. And the orchestra director that we had, well, orchestra and choral both, the music program at Finley High School was just outstanding at the time that I was there. Absolutely top notch, in my opinion. I mean, if you were going to be in choir, it was not just going to be a study hall. You were going to actually do something. And if you thought you were going to be in just a study hall, then you were in the wrong place and you needed to sign out of choir immediately. And you learned that your freshman year, and pretty much it was understood by junior year symphonic choir that, you know, people were in there, they were serious musicians. So that was amazing. And the orchestra director as well was very, very, very professional. He did not only worked at Finley, or conducted at Finley High School, but all over the state of Ohio and various orchestras. I know he was very, very reputable, and we were lucky to have him at the high school. So, we were very, it was an amazing, I have cassettes of different ensembles, performances. One in particular was my sophomore year. This was my shining moment of high school, I have to say. It really was, at least musically, it really was. There was a song called My Wish for You. I think I went over this already on my first podcast, but I'll go over it again. The song was called My Wish for You, and it was very symbolic because we played it at the end of the end of the school year, and the seniors, the class of 96 were graduating, and it was their last concert. And the song, the lyrics were, I wish you the sunshine in springtime. I wish you a ripple of rain. I wish you all the best things that life has to offer. I wish you the best things till we meet again. Well, sometimes there were student accompanists playing the piano along with the choir. Other times it was the orchestra, but never was it a choir director. It was always a student. And I, one year, got to be one of those student accompanists. Okay. And that was just amazing in itself. But the piece that I was given to play was my favorite of all the pieces we were doing that particular semester. And at first they said, well, you know, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it because you have to follow the music and the choirs. And I said, just give me a chance. And I heard the accompaniment so often that I just picked it up. And so I played it. I practiced it with the choir and I played it, everything, and it went well. And then I played it for the concert and the entire piece got a standing ovation. And I think it was because of the lyrical content of the piece, the fact that everybody was just so emotional. I mean, you could feel the emotion in it, and just the whole night. That was the shining night of my high school career. And my choir director, you did it, you actually did it. And I said, yeah, I mean, you know, I just needed to hear it a few times, and I figured it out. I improvised and tried to play it almost the way it was in the music. I'm sure that, you know, a couple times I had improvised. I played, because I didn't know the exact musical notes or anything. And it worked. So junior and senior years, I did not, unfortunately, get the chance to do that again, even though I bugged him about it and bugged him about it and bugged him about it. Mr. Smith said, oh, I'll get you one. We'll get you in here, and we never got a chance to, but that was okay, because that night made up for all those times I didn't get to. I also had an adventure my freshman year. I didn't get to actually perform in one of the concerts because I had a bit of an accident. I was on the topmost riser and fell backwards because I have seizures and it was just not a good thing. So after that, I was on the bottom riser. You know, this is turning out to be a life cast again, with music just kind of intertwined every now and again. Oh boy. I did not mean for this to happen. When I talk, and I just kind of keep going. College, I was in a women's ensemble, a women's chorale, actually. And I was also in the regular college chorus at Wright State University. And I was there until 2002. And then finished. Got my degree, actually minored in music and majored in English. Believe it or not, I wanted to major in music performance. Or actually, what I really wanted to do was music therapy, honestly. But BSVI said, no, it's not marketable. And we're not going to pay for it. And we didn't have the money for scholarships, so I had to go with, fine, I'll major in English. And English was a good subject for me. I love English as well. I mean, I really do, because I love to do, I love creative writing, and I love literature. So that worked out. So I minored in music performance. That's, you know, focus on the piano. And so I have a BA in English. So I haven't pursued anything else. Thanks to Jamie Pauls, I now have some directions to go and some avenues to take with the music therapy. A thing I want to do. So, okay, so that brings us up to now. Believe it or not, this actually has an end. Well, at least at this point. Not really, because, okay. 2000 was a pretty good year, a pretty amazing year for me, because I was able to record a CD of all of my own music. And that was amazing. It really was. I never in a million years dreamed I would be able to do that. And I was actually, you know, recording my stuff, my music. And nobody was telling me what to do, what not to do, what shouldn't be there, what should be there. I was able to do everything just the way I wanted to do it. And I was able to express a lot of things in that CD. I think bottled up emotions came out. A lot of sadness, a lot of happiness, a lot of yearning came out on those 11 songs that are on that CD. And they're very, very, just, it's very meaningful to me. They're very personal. Each song is its own sort of tapestry. It's its own sort of portrait. Well, I guess it wouldn't be a tapestry. A tapestry would be the entire thing. Okay. Speaking of my English and majoring in English. Yeah. Okay. So 2000, in the midst of my years at Wright State, or in the midst of my Wright State college career, I was, the summer of that, actually, I recorded. And then the fall, it was printed and it was released. Well, released as in, it was given to me and I was able to sell a few copies here and there. And I was featured on a few local news channels. You know, they just thought it was amazing. Blind person realizes her dream. There was an article in the news, in a couple of the newspapers. And that was kind of neat. And then September 11th, thing that happened, the local people around Findlay and Fostoria and other Finley is where I used to live. Fostoria is another sort of town, city. It wants to be a city, but it's still a town. Sorry, all you Fostorian people, but it's still a town. So is Finley, but Finley's trying to be a big city. But anyway, we actually got together. I wrote a song called Heal the Nations, and that was what the concert was actually based upon. It was on Earth Day, and the title of the show was Heal the Nations, which was really neat. And two other local band and a musician, a soloist, a native flute player, Native American flute player, came up for the concert as well. And there, you know, the fire department, the city council, everything, every people. It was kind of a fundraiser. There were raffles and things like that. And it all proceeds went to September 11th and the World Trade Center and things like that. So that for me was really, really special because I actually felt like I was, even it was a real, you know, even if it was a small contribution, even if it was a part of a small contribution, I felt like I was helping somehow because I felt so helpless otherwise. I just, my uncle actually worked for the Pentagon, so he was in D.C. And then my cousin Laura used to live in New York, and she lived there at the time of the horrible September 11th attacks. And so that was very scary because we didn't hear from her for a while after. And then she called us, and she was in Connecticut, and she said that she wasn't able to call because for a long time because she was dealing with her husband, because her husband actually worked in the oh my goodness, which tower was it? I can't remember, but her husband actually worked in one of the towers there. I can't remember now which it was, but he ended up being one of the people that were unfortunately killed in that tragedy. So she was dealing with that and everything else. So then she went out to Connecticut with her friend, and she's still living there actually now. So yeah. And the Heal the Nations was not on my CD because I wrote it after the CD was released. And it just sort of came out. And I'm trying to find the copy that I have. I mean, I know where the copy is, but I'm trying to find a way to actually give it to you because it's on cassette. And it was made on my Tascam 4-track. And I don't know how I'm going to. What I might do is save it for another podcast because I think this one's going a bit long. And that will also give me a chance to get it into a digitalized format that you all can hear. So. And that brings us up to now. We are in the 2006 now, and, you know, really my major events were 2000, 2001, my latest, especially 2001. So, I think it's amazing what the surviving families of that whole thing went through. Of the whole attacks. Okay. Well, everyone, I kind of ended on a somber note. But this is, I think I'm going to wrap it up here. And just, you know, say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with my, my way of just starting a topic and going off on a tangent and then coming back to it. It's a maze, my thoughts. thought processes, all of which come back to one point at the very end. So thank you for putting up with that, and thank you for listening to this. And and I want to also, before I go, I want to thank every one of you who have sent me well wishes, everyone on BCT. I also just want to thank those of you who sent, you know, personal notes as well, just to my email as well. That really, 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 I can't even tell you what that meant. I mean, to know that everybody cares. It's just nice to know that people care. And I don't know. It's, thank you all so much for just being the wonderful people that you are. If you want to contact me, you can email me at musicofhope, it's all one word, lowercase, at buckeye-express.com. You can, Skype is giving me some issues at the moment. I'm having some problems with my network. I think, I don't know, every time I try and use it, it works for a few minutes and then it says critical error has occurred. So I'll let you know when Skype's back up and when I have fixed my network to so that it's up to standard. So Skype is kind of out at the moment, but I will let you know when that's back up. I also have a comment line for the Audio Mirror podcast, and I just want to thank Lynette Tatum O'Neill for calling me and giving me a comment. That was really, really, really cool. So, and the comment line number, or the K7 number, is, and the reason that nobody else had it, by the way, was because I neglected to put it on a podcast, I think. Or maybe I just sent it in an email message. Or maybe I just let you know that I had a comment line and didn't give the number. I don't know, but okay, the number is 206-202-3358. I did not have any vanity numbers. I couldn't get anything. Everything kept coming up as, try again. Search again. Give up. So, okay. So, thanks so much for listening, everyone. I really appreciate it. And, I will, be back up with another edition very, very soon. Just thank you all so much for listening. Bye for now.